My name is Heather Rubino. I'm the Respiratory Disease Surveillance Unit Manager for the Florida Department of Health. I work with Suzanne and Jordan, and I'm going to talk to you today about establishing syndromic surveillance, respiratory syncytial virus season baselines or thresholds, and comparing it to the National Respiratory and Enteric Virus Surveillance System. So let me give you a little bit of background about the National Respiratory and Enteric Virus Surveillance System, and Myla, I promise I will try to do you proud. Myla does respiratory syncytial virus surveillance for the CDC. So it is historically a laboratory-based sentinel surveillance system. Historically, the data is collected manually, so each facility would tally their numbers at the end of the week, and that's the total number of tests and the total number of positive tests. And that data is generally broken down into 10 surveillance regions plus Florida. I say plus Florida because we're different in a lot of ways. Some of you may have seen the raccoon riding the alligator picture that came out. So when I say that we're special, I mean it. So the system was established in 1989. There were 5 or 10 distinct regions that have different seasonality. And nationally, this means that a season onset is typically starts in October anywhere between October and mid-January, and season end is March to early May across these seasons. So let me give you a little bit of background about how we're different. So we started statewide surveillance in 1999, and the National Respiratory and Enteric Virus Surveillance System data weren't really robust enough and didn't display the Florida season accurately. Specifically, other states have shorter seasons than we do, and that is dangerous when the pre-approval of prophylactic treatment is tied to whether or not RSV is considered to be in season or not in season, and it's prohibitively expensive if your insurance isn't covering it. So we modeled our system after NERVS, and we use it to determine the onset, peak, and wane of the RSV season. It estimates the overall disease activity, but unfortunately no data is collected describing the population impacted. So things like age, race, and other variables. This is particularly important because RSV has the most severe outcomes on those under the age of 5 and those over the age of 65. So, and really the vast majority of this is under the age of 5, so not having that information and it being laboratory-based meant that we couldn't really differentiate between an RSV test that where a clinician was actually testing for RSV specifically, or a clinician was ordering a panel of tests of which RSV was on that panel that might artificially deflate the percent positivity that would determine the season in and season out. So in July of 2014, I am excited to say, so the last year, we in Florida, we made all tests, both positives and negatives, for RSV were made electronically reportable. Now don't get too excited, we're still validating that data, and I'm not ready to present it yet, but keep your eyes peeled next year. Okay, so this is what I mean by overall seasonality. So statewide, August through April, and our seasonality is distinct from the nation, and not only are we different as a state, but we're different within the state too. We were so different that our data was separated from the South region. So if you look at the CDC NERVS page in the RSV seasonality, it has all of the seasons and then Florida separately. So within Florida, we have 5 distinct regions, each with separate seasonality. Now, when I'm saying these 5 different regions, the way that we identified these regions was by using the NERVS data and looking at that, NERVS data with ours, and looking at what kind of surveillance seasons we were seeing there. To make mention there, this is laboratory-based information, not by patient location. So this seasonality, this is still kind of a really rough guide. And next year, when we have all the data validated that's coming in through our electronically, through ELR, we'll be able to reassess these seasons and see if we made a good guess back then. So these are surveillance seasons, and they're used for that pre-approval of prophylactic treatment, as I mentioned to you earlier. And I've got the surveillance seasons mentioned at the bottom. Now, as you've noticed there, the Southeast region, South Florida, gets hit hard. Pretty much never goes out of season. We'll be clear that when I mention season, it's the way that the definition is, and I'll probably, the way the definition is to meet, to be considered in season for NERS or for national kind of numbers, you need to be at or above 10% positivity for specimens for 2 weeks in a row. Similarly, you have to be, to get out of season, you have to be below 10% for 2 weeks in a row of the total number of specimens being tested positive for antigen tests, not for PCR. So what that does is it means that where the season is, we only know about when it started 3 weeks later, because it takes about a week for the clinicians to actually report their data in, and then it takes 2 weeks of that 10% threshold. So every single season, we are missing, at a minimum, 3 weeks of saying, oh yes, by the way, this, we're in season 3 weeks ago. That is frustrating when you're in a state like ours, where our seasons are kind of wonky to begin with, as I showed you, and the pre-approval for prophylactic treatment is tied to that seasonality. So that's an entire month where kids can't get the treatment that they need because they're not being considered in season. And it's not a very timely way to be able to action or to have an action on that data. So we have syndromic surveillance, and we've done a lot of validating of syndromic surveillance data that's shown that we can actually see RSV seasonality being picked up in the syndromic data. So one of the questions that we had, the purpose of this, was to determine if we could use that data collected through emergency department and urgent care center visit data, received either daily or hourly, and accessed through our syndromic surveillance system, could be used to develop syndromic surveillance seasonal thresholds for RSV disease in children under the age of 5. So that would allow us to move much earlier. So we'd still be making the same identification. We'd just be able to make that identification within 2 days of it happening, as opposed to making that identification 3 weeks later. So what did we do? We queried our syndromic surveillance system for these key terms, RSV, bronchiolitis, or syncytial. Now, to be clear here, it queries on the ICD-10 and the chief complaint or the free text field. So that means if it's mentioned in any one of those two, we're picking it up. We used three components of ED and urgent care center data. Our most complete is a chief complaint. However, if those of you that know a little bit about RSV, is that RSV presents like influenza-like illness. So not a lot of people are going to walk into the emergency room and say, hey, I think my kid has RSV. But they will get diagnosed with RSV. So we've done some other research, and I presented it yesterday, that showed that actually our discharge disposition is a really good marker for kids that actually have RSV. Is a good way to see the signal. And then discharge disposition is whether or not they were admitted. So laboratory season onset and offset weeks between week 1, 2010, and that's a typo, week 5, 2014, were identified using laboratory seasonal data thresholds of 10% positivity for 2 consecutive weeks. So we just went through the NERVS data and said, hey, what week did you get into season, and what week did you get out of season? And then we looked at what the data was showing for surveillance system seasonal thresholds by taking all of the weeks where they were season in and looking at the corresponding percent in our syndromic surveillance, and then averaging those for getting into season and then getting out of season. So what we found was that the syndromic surveillance threshold was identified for the first week for the proportion of all ED visits were from children under the age of 5 with a discharge diagnosis of RSV at or above 0.5%. Now what's important here is I mentioned the NERVS data needs 2 consecutive weeks. We don't need that. We just need 1 week where it goes above 0.5%. Now season offset was interesting. So NERVS goes 10% in, 10% out. We found that to get out of season, it just had to go below 0.65%, right? So it's not the same number to get in and to get out of season. So then what did we do? We did this comparison, right? So the red line there is the discharge diagnosis, kids with a discharge diagnosis of RSV. So you can see the syndromic data picks up the seasonality, right? Then the 10% you can see there, that's where, so everywhere the dotted line crosses the blue line, that is where it is in season and out of season, right? So then, if you look at the, so the blue line is just kind of a smoothed out version of that green line there. Okay, so we're seeing the same kind of seasonality. It looks like the surveillance, the syndromic data is actually at a lag past the lab data, right? Except for the fact that what you're not seeing is we're not looking at where the syndromic data crosses that dotted line. We're looking at where the NERS data crosses that dotted line, meets those thresholds, and looking at the numbers there. This is another representation of it. So this is, if we use those cutoffs, that 0.5 to get in and 0.65 to get out of season, what we see here is the matching of the season. So the red bar is the syndromic surveillance, and the blue bar is the NERS season. And so you can see that they do a really good match on each other, with a little bit of fuzziness happening, maybe 1 week, at about 1 week. But even if you included that 1 week, where, for example, in 2011, that the NERS season was just a little bit longer or a little bit earlier, remember, we're not identifying that that NERS season is actually in season until 3 weeks later. So we're still being able, even if NERS is starting earlier in retrospect, we're still able to action that data a week or two earlier than we would if we were waiting on the NERS piece, right? So when comparing to corresponding laboratory data, syndromic surveillance threshold determined that seasons that had 97% sensitivity and 95% specificity for determining RSV in seasonality, which is a pretty good match. So I want to take a minute here to talk about the conclusions. Like, I know not a ton of people out there are as crazy about RSV as I am, right? I know we all have our kind of like pet diseases. So what's important here isn't necessarily that this is about RSV. What's important here is about the methodology. So as states, we've been moving a lot more towards syndromic surveillance, right? And syndromic surveillance has its ups and its downs, and I know that there's, you know, there's a lot of pros and cons on both sides. But one of the things that's important here is that we can identify signals early, and this is a model that could be used to identify signals in other diseases early also. You can come in, it's okay. So that's really what I want to underscore in this, is that the same methodology can be used for other states. That's important because, as I showed you that Florida's special, I don't think we're all that special. Let me just be clear about that. I don't think there's anything really, really unique about crossing over into Florida that means that you are more likely going to get RSV than you are in Alabama or Mississippi or Louisiana, right? I mean, we have a lot of similar characteristics, similar demographic characteristics, environmental characteristics that would suggest that other states maybe have the same situation going on, and they just don't maybe have the data to kind of support that yet. So what this will allow us to do is, instead of creating one threshold that works at the national level, this allows states to create thresholds for themselves that reflect their data and that allow them to action that information in a quicker, better way that suits them, that serves their population better. So NERS is the established system to determine RSV season start and end. However, advances in electronic surveillance system, such as syndromic surveillance, could offer greater efficiency while maintaining accuracy and reducing reporter delays. The surveillance, the syndromic surveillance RSV seasonal thresholds described here may not apply to other states. I don't think they will apply to other states. And in fact, I think they might even change once we get our complete laboratory data, now that we've made it electronically reportable. I expect it to change. And it should change, right? Like, as scientists, we should change, or our conclusions should change, as better data becomes available and becomes validated. That also, this method will allow us to continue to validate this as we move forward. So the methods here described here may enable other states to characterize their own state-specific syndromic surveillance RSV thresholds and help create maybe national syndromic surveillance thresholds. So next steps. So, and I have many next steps, but here it's to compare the emergency department data to NERVS and Florida laboratory-based surveillance to evaluate the sensitivity and specificity of that data source and detect the start and end of RSV season in Florida by region. So what I just showed you were our state thresholds, but I also told you that we have five specific seasons within the state. So maybe it's not appropriate to use state-level thresholds to look at regional-level data. And especially as our surveillance, our syndromic surveillance becomes more complete and more robust, it may be more appropriate to use those regional-level thresholds. So that's one of the things that I'm going to be looking at. And then the next piece of it is to compare the emergency department data to hospital discharge data set, which is what you're familiar with from Suzanne's presentation, to evaluate the completeness of the data even being captured here, right? So I will mention that that data is great because it's considered complete, but it's not timely, and I know you already heard that conclusion, and therefore can't be used to monitor the onset, peak, and wane of the RSV season in near or real time. Extra next steps, I'll be doing this with flu also. To look at, we primarily use syndromic surveillance to monitor flu in our state, and so I'll be using these same kind of methods also to help us determine what we consider to be in season and out of season. That'll be a little bit more difficult, because what was it that Dr. Frieden said? The only thing predictable about flu season is that it's unpredictable, which is a fantastic quote. So there's a more variability there, so I'm not expecting to, in the flu season as there is in the RSV season, so I'm not expecting to have as much ease of finding those thresholds, but okay, well thank you so much for your time and your attention, and I'll be happy to take any questions that you might have.
Questions for Heather?
Ooh, well, so far we have over 600 laboratories in the state. We have validated about 20 of those labs, and they're not all doing great right now. So we have an issue now where we're going back through every, well, my staff is not terribly impressed at this, but we're going back through those labs and identifying, trying to validate them, right? A lot of it is that we don't have historical data for these labs, so validating them is difficult. So, but for that, we're still using the NERVS percent positivity and looking for those seasonal trends. The other piece that we're doing is if they were a NERVS reporting laboratory, then we can compare their data now against their historical data that's submitted into NERVS. And we're having a lot of issue with, they're doing a great job of sending the positives, but not so great of a job as sending us the negatives. And we've tried to explain to them that, you know, math is nothing if not with the denominator. So it's a huge undertaking. But it's worthwhile, and we're getting all the demographic data associated with that. And in fact, we've just kind of changed the feed a little bit that we're going to start getting whether or not a patient was hospitalized associated with that also. So that'll be really interesting in the characterization of RSV more generally and the kind of burden on our population.
Yeah, I guess that brings up another question. Have you thought about coming up with any estimates, having that three-week gap closed, how much illness you'd actually be preventing?
That is a really good next step. Right now we're just trying to figure out how we can count it, right? There are a lot more things coming out of this. I mean, how much illness we'd be able to prevent. The other issue is this, is, you know, with the season the way it is, if you identify it earlier, if you figure out the way to identify it earlier, this lag works on the tail end of the season too. So if it's taking 3 weeks to determine whether or not you're getting into season, it's also taking 3 weeks that you're saying the season is longer than it is. That's also time that kids are then being able to get prophylaxis, that they wouldn't have been if they were using our syndromic surveillance. So, unfortunately, the insurance companies, I don't think, would appreciate me saying, well, see, we're going to use syndromic surveillance to determine when we get in the season, and then we're going to use nerves to determine when we get out of season. And the science part of my brain says, you know, it should be based on the data and not just trying to make sure that every kid that needs it can get the prophylactic treatment. So, any other questions? Okay. Well, it's that, you know, 3 p.m. in the afternoon snooze time. I get that. If you have any other questions, please come up to me. I love talking about this stuff. So, and lots of other things too. So, thank you.